Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks so much for being here. Again, the audit in the spotlight. Former President Trump was in town and talked quite a bit about it in his speech over the weekend. Joining us right now is the Senate liaison, Ken Bennett, former Secretary of State. Let's start with where we are with the recount, because I know that the Senate ordered a private recount outside of the audit. Where are we with that?
Well, Mike, since I was denied access Friday morning, I can tell you where we were Friday morning or Thursday night. And that was we were making very good progress, probably about halfway through the 45 pallets, 1,600 and some odd boxes. And things were going pretty well. There's lots of dedicated volunteers down there working in very difficult heat and humidity, but things are actually going pretty well. The trick on that is going to be how to handle and make sure that you do the duplicated ballots correctly and in the same way that the county did, especially since the county did not put the serial numbers on thousands of the ballots that were duplicated so that you can match them up and say, okay, here's the one that duplicated that one, and we have one for one. And then the second thing you could do if you wanted is, you know, make sure that the votes on the ballot that was duplicated because it was damaged or it was sent in by email from a military person or whatever were correctly reflected on its duplicate. But when you've got 20 to 25,000 duplicates, you got to make sure that you count the one but not the other, so
right,
that you're not double counting anything or not missing anything and missing a count. So, but the third count is going very well. And as of Thursday night when I left, we were well over halfway. By now, it's probably three-fourths.
Why were you denied access on Friday?
I've got to go back a little bit and say that when the third count was told to me that we were going to do it and Mr. Pullen was going to kind of take that lead for the Senate, I visited with Randy and said, you know, we got to make sure that we have procedures and protections in place so that we do it correctly and that we don't in any way create an incentive to force balance this count to either of the first two counts or share the information with the second count, the ninjas count, so that they've forced balance back to our number. I mean, if it's really going to be an independent check of that second count, it needs to be independent. We cannot be forced balancing one direction or the other. And so when I asked, you know, what are the procedures that we're going to use to do this and was told I wasn't going to be told what those were, I became very concerned about the forced balancing. So I recalled that a couple of weeks earlier, this group led by Mr. Moore from the Clear Ballot company that, you know, is a certified election systems company in the country. He's retired now, but he and some other volunteers had put together a big spreadsheet that corrected and explained a lot of inconsistencies. And he told me corrected hundreds of clerical errors that they found in Maricopa County's numbers and that they had gotten to a pretty good spreadsheet as far as how many ballots should be in each box. And so as I started to watch the process and I was standing a few feet away from the ladies that were doing the count, I started to ask, well, how much was in that box and what number was it? So I went to their spreadsheet and some of the numbers checked and some of them didn't. And then Mr. Moore called and said, hey, we'd like to explain to you how we put this spreadsheet together. And I said, that's fine. But in that process, I shared that some of these numbers were matching. Well, I thought he was discreet enough to realize that I was just trying to confirm some numbers privately. And they went to the press the next morning and said, Bennett's sharing numbers with us. And it confirms our whole methodology. And that's not, I don't think that's correct either. But indirectly, I allowed some information that was supposed to be private to get out. He leaked it to the press, and I felt bad about that. And obviously, Mr. Pullen and maybe the Senate and others were upset. And so that's why I was denied access. But
are you still the liaison? Are you going to resign from that position?
I am the liaison, and I'm working with President Phan to figure out how we move forward. Because as I explained on one of the other talk shows here in the Valley this morning, there are some very troubling things that have got to be fixed as far as, you know, this keeping information from me. I mean, the whole issue about duplicate ballots
right.
that came up in the very first couple weeks of the audit, I was told that there would be a comprehensive reconciliation of how the duplicate ballots were handled that's never been forthcoming. There were serious issues in the aggregation process, but some very qualified people have jumped in and helped to fix that. They told me that as they were getting those issues resolved, that I would be allowed to, you know, see those positive resolutions and have complete confidence that we're accurate and we're reflecting all the numbers right in the spreadsheet. And then a week or two after that, was told that they'd been instructed by the auditors to not share anything with me. And then this situation where I'm told I can't even know the procedures that we're going to use on this third count. I just cannot function as right. the liaison, you know, with those kinds of hide the ball from me stuff. But I'm working with President Phan, and if we can get those kinds of things worked out, I want to see this audit through to success. And success to me is the facts.
Would you...
Election integrity is not about whether or not Donald Trump won an election. Election integrity is about, did we get the election right? And that's what I'm focused on. And it's not for Donald Trump, and it's not for the Senate. It's for the people of Arizona. Because if the people of Arizona don't have complete confidence in their elections, we're going to lose our state and our country.
And I agree with you. I was in favor of the audit, as you know, from the beginning. I've had some disagreements with the way that it's been handled by the Cyber Ninjas and the other subcontractors down there. Do you still have confidence in the Cyber Ninjas and the other subcontractors that were down there in getting this right? Do you believe that they've gotten this right, or do you think some things need to be fixed?
Well, I think they've got a lot of things right. They discovered and had to correct the same hundreds of clerical errors that Larry Moore's group had to correct in their spreadsheet. There's lots of good things happening under the direction of the Cyber Ninjas and their subcontractors. There's lots of quality volunteers and a few paid people, but mostly volunteers who are down there working their heart out to get this right. But I can only be a part of moving forward and vouching for the final product if there's transparency in seeing the procedures and the things that are going to be used to build that final product. So do I have confidence that we can get a final product that's good? Yes. Do I get frustrated when, you know, when 74,000 ballots get thrown out and there's an explanation for it and it's not really phantom ballots or yes, that is frustrating.
Right.
And it's frustrating to hear the president even refer to that number again on Saturday or whenever he was here. I wasn't at the rally, but when you're auditing something, you can get nine things right. And if you get one thing wrong, people remember the one thing wrong.
Right.
So we've got to fix, we've got to make sure that we have complete transparency and integrity in how the processes and aspects of the audit are adding up to the final report, which I want to be able to say I have complete confidence in.
All right, two more questions. Number one, Mr. Pulitzer threw out a number of that the audit actually cost $9 million. Is that an accurate number, and where's that money coming from if it's true?
I have no idea if that's an accurate number. I think it's a pulled out of the air number.
Okay.
But I, and this is one of the lacks of transparency that I struggle with, but it's been clear from the very beginning that the Senate agreed with the auditors that, you know, $150,000 and any expenses beyond that, the auditors had to, you know, come up with their fundraising or grant funding or whatever it was beyond that. I have no information about what the total costs are running, so I don't know if that $9 million number is correct or not. I suspect right. it's hugely high.
All right. So the last question, two part question. Number one is, when do you anticipate this report being done and turned over to the Senate, and when do you anticipate the public being able to see it?
I think it's in next month sometime, mid to late August, I hope, is when we have a report that can be turned over to the Senate and immediately made public thereon. I mean, literally like the same day. This is not something that needs to be hidden from anybody. And as I said, obviously the Senate has asked for this audit, but this audit belongs to the people of Arizona, and they need complete transparency and confidence that it's accurate and was put together correctly. And that's all I'm trying to ensure.
And Ken, I always have appreciated you coming on the air and being transparent about this stuff with me. You know, I've had some disagreements, but you've always been kind enough to come on. So thanks again for coming on today. And I look forward to talking to you again when the report's out.
Ditto, and thanks back to you.
All right, thanks. That's Ken Bennett, liaison to the Senate for this audit. He is also a former Secretary of State, so he knows a thing or two about elections. We're going to talk more about this as the show goes on, but big information. We'll kind of wrap it up in just a little while. In a moment, we're going to talk about something with the Olympics, but I want to get a little follow-up on what you just heard. All that's coming up next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks again for being here. Appreciate you spending some time with the show this morning. We had a kind of a, not last minute, but we were just talking this morning and jumped on as quickly as we could with the former Secretary of State and now Senate liaison, Ken Bennett. I've had disagreements about this audit. From the beginning, I've said I wanted the audit. I wanted something done accurately. I do not share the faith in what the cyber ninjas have done that others have because of the mistakes that were being made down there. And I think that more than anything, the people that wanted a fair audit, the people that believe that the election are stolen, should be the angriest about some of the mistakes that were being made. That's my personal feelings about this. I've been pretty vocal about it. Because I don't believe that when this report comes out, it's going to satisfy anyone. The people that believed that the election was stolen are not going to get satisfaction because nothing's going to change. And the people that could have been swayed that something was done wrong are not going to believe some of the things that happened because of the mistakes that were made. Mr. Bennett came on the show this morning to talk about a rift that's gone on, which I just learned about over the weekend. And that other people had been talking about being locked out on Friday. And, I want to be fair. I want to hear from the other side of this, which I'm going to talk to some other people on the other side of this, because I just want you to have the accurate information so you can decide for yourself. And, I've said before, I have the utmost respect for Ken Bennett as a human being. Senator Fan also. I've done events with her. I'm certainly never attacking their character. Randy Pullen, who is the former chairman of the Republican Party, and that's where I know Mr. Pullen from, have no reason to doubt that any of these people want anything less than the best for what's for Arizona, the best for Arizona. But the issue for what the voters will believe when it's done, and I'm glad that Ken Bennett, when he was on the show, one of the things he talked about was the 74,000 ballots. There was, again, an accusation, so to speak, but I would call it more of an insinuation about 74,000 plus ballots that were mail-in ballots that weren't mailed, but they showed up. And it was very quickly described and explained away by saying those 74,000 ballots were people that went to early voting centers and cast a mail-in ballot without mailing it, which explained it right away. Garrett Archer, who is known as the data guru, he's over at ABC 15 now, but he did work for the Secretary of State's office. He did the exact same count on numbers and came within two ballots in his count. Two ballots, 74,241 versus 71,243. That's an incredibly accurate count on those absentee ballots or those mail-in ballots, whatever you want to call them. Those are the kinds of things that give people misinformation that when people hear it, that want to hear it, they run with that information. And so you've got to dispel the rumors. So the faster they can get an accurate report out, the faster that people can look at the raw, the accurate data. And that's where the issue lies with people is how do we know what's real and what isn't? And I'm sorry that that's going to be a big problem for people. And so I'm glad that Mr. Bennett came on. As I said, I'm going to be talking to other people involved to make sure I get both sides of the story so that you get both sides of the story. And I don't want to create a narrative. I want to explain the narrative. And so we're going to make sure that that happens. The reason why this is so important is, and I felt from the very beginning, We all should be suspicious when somebody wants to look at our ballots. I don't care what party you're from. We all should be concerned when people are looking at your ballots. We don't know who some of these people are. We don't know the procedures they used. We don't know a lot of the things that have happened. And everyone should be suspicious about that. So the audit happened. We've got they're compiling their report done by the cyber ninjas and the group of subcontractors. The state of Arizona is counting ballots, not votes, numbers of ballots, to make sure that the numbers are accurate. It's almost like a third check. So all of this is happening right now. And in the end, are we going to get something that can be easily explained to the voters as these are the areas we found problems? These are the areas that need to be fixed. If they can come up with something like that. And as Ken Bennett said, as the Senate president has maintained all along, this is not going to change the results of the election. No one can recall electors. This is a simple check of what happened with the votes in Arizona. If we get that, if we can get an accurate count of something that people believe, that's terrific. But we'll see. We shall see how that ends up playing out. We're going to talk a minute in a moment about what's happening at the border. Now we're hearing the next level of all of this. We've heard about people in hotels. The next level of this now is children being taken to military bases and the concern for their well-being and how they're being kept. A more accurate picture of what's going on is coming up here in just a couple of moments.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks again. Appreciate you being here on this Monday morning. TheHill.com is a website I go to quite often, and I think it's a great website. It's kind of wonky. I've mentioned that almost every time. It's kind of inside baseball, political stuff a lot of times. But they do a lot of great journalism on issues that are kind of here are the facts as opposed. They do have opinions. They have a lot of opinion on there as well. But they have a lot of good journalists on there as well. I'll give you the first line of this. President Joe Biden has been housing unaccompanied alien children from the southern border at temporary facilities at military bases. And reports from child advocates and people who've worked at the facilities are harrowing. Why are we housing migrant children at military bases? Why are we apparently treating them so poorly? What does it portend for treatment of migrant children under the Biden administration? I want to make sure that here we go now, the politics of this. During the previous administration, there was a rift, obviously, there was a huge, I would say, dislike, if not hatred, between the media and Donald Trump and Donald Trump and the media. There's no doubt about that. The reports about Donald Trump and the treatment of children at the border was ugly and atrocious. They got it wrong many times. Let's be honest. If you remember nationally, there were pictures shown everywhere of all of these kids in cages during the Trump administration. And then this was nationally, not locally, nationally. And then the national reporters had to admit very, very quietly. They give their criticism in a voice like mine. And then they give their retraction in a voice like this. And what happened is they had to admit that the pictures of the kids in cages were actually Arizona Republic pictures of the cages when Obama was in office, and they attributed them to Trump. So you can disagree with a lot of things that happened, but here we are seeing now almost no migrant children have reunited with their families that were separated from families. Now we're seeing how this overwhelming problem is being very quietly handled. Now we've got children on military bases they're saying are being mistreated or treated harrowing is what the news story said. So the problem is a long way from being fixed. I mentioned earlier, and it's worth mentioning again, when you couple that story of we've got people on buses and airplanes, there are hotels here in the valley that are housing people, they're given bus tickets. McAllen, Texas can't get enough private buses into McAllen, Texas to get people on buses to send them to where they want to go. You couple that with the Delta variant, and we're trying to avoid masking, we're trying to avoid all of these other things, and nothing is being done at the border. If this were a mistake being made by the Trump administration, this would be front page news. And it would be every 15 minutes. It would be a constant. It's not necessarily being reported in a broad way right now. dispel the politics. I don't care who you like as president of the United States. If the problem exists, and I'm not calling it the sole issue because I don't believe it is. I don't believe that the cause of the uptick in infections in America is being done by illegal aliens or illegal immigrants, whatever the proper term is. Undocumented migrants, call them whatever you want. I'm not blaming this solely on them. What I am saying is you are sending a message to the American people. And that message to the American people is get vaccinated or mask up. We may mandate both for unvaccinated people. Americans, nothing is being done. Nothing is being mandated and nothing is changing with illegal immigration. You want to talk about super spreader events. This is a super spreader event. Now what we've also found out is that all of these children that were going to be cared for so diligently by this administration aren't. Not because they don't care, just like I don't believe anyone in the Trump administration didn't care. Just like I believe that the Border Patrol and ICE and Homeland Security as a whole cared just as much about these kids that were coming across the border under the Obama administration as they did under the Trump administration, as they do under the Biden administration. Those people's hearts don't change. They're being overwhelmed by bad policy. It is the fact that they are. The numbers of unaccompanied children apprehended at the border nearly doubled. 4552 in December of 2020, that's the last full month of the Trump administration, to 9266 in February of 21, the first full month of the Biden administration. It rose again to 187 in March, 169 in April, 138 in May, and then jumped up again to 15,000 in June. So two of these statutes require that Border Patrol or CBP to transfer unaccompanied alien children to ORR, which is the Refugee Resettlement, Office of Refugee Resettlement and Apprehensions. This does not apply to children from contiguous countries. It's responsible for the children child care until they can be placed with sponsors. So this ORR has licensed detention centers for alien children with more than 13,500 beds, and the demand for bed space has gone up. As of July 15th, there were approximately 15,000, so 14,920, unaccompanied alien children in their custody. At the end of May, the system-wide average length of time these children were spending in shelters, 35 days. So, as Americans, how much of this do we tolerate? As Americans, we keep hearing the politics of things. The vice president of the United States made one trip to El Paso, Texas, months after she was asked to. As the accusation from me and many others, seeing how they were handling this was a check-the-box photo op and on to other things. That's exactly what's happening. This is a bad enough problem. Going all the way back to the Obama administration with kids in cages in McAllen, Texas, and other places. And it's been consistent because we have been overwhelmed with this. It's just been made worse by bad policy. At what point do the American people say, if we truly care about kids, we have to, politics be damned, let's figure out a way to fix this problem. Let's get the policies right that stop this from happening. And it isn't. It just isn't. In a moment, taxes, because there is a brand new tax idea that's going to absolutely make you laugh. It is something that I should have seen coming. And when I read it, I laughed and said, of course. And you're going to hear the story and you're going to say, of course. We'll talk about that coming up in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks again for being here. Man, I love that song. Dio, Ronnie James Dio. All 5 feet of him. That guy could sing. 5 feet tall. Days after Richard Branson and Jeff Bezos launched successful tourism flights to space, Earl Blumenauer, who is a Democrat from Oregon in the United States Congress, you're going to love this, Steve, has decided we're missing out. The federal government is missing out. Why? Well, because we aren't taxing this stuff. We need a space tourism tax.
Just one more way for them to take our money.
Of course. I mean, they're not taxing you. You pay taxes on everything else, but all these people spent millions of dollars to go to space. Government did get no money.
I read that their proposal basically says the further into space you go, the more you pay.
Of course. Of course. So I want you to hear a little bit of this. This is an actual report of a space travel tax.
Analysts project the space tourism industry being worth $23 billion in the next 10 years. Oregon Congressman Earl Blumenauer wants the government to earn a piece of that income, proposing the Space Tax Act.
The space tax is a two-tiered tax, basically meaning the farther into space you travel, the more you'd pay. An exception to the tax would be any space travel with a scientific purpose.
Aren't they all going to be with a scientific purpose? Can't anybody just claim, well, we were just trying to see scientifically how far we could get?
That's just, it is, it makes me laugh. I said, of course. I saw this story this morning and I said, of course they're going to tax space travel. Better get on this now. This is going to be $27 billion in a few years and we aren't getting any of it. The further you go into space, the more it's going to cost you.
What if I don't tell them how far into space I go?
Well, you have to. You have to disclose it.
How does that appear on my W-2?
Listen,
my tax filing.
I'm doing everything I can right now to not get thrown off the air because I have jokes. I have jokes, and I don't want to get thrown off the air. The further you go into space, there is. You have to understand that we're talking about the government here. There is a Uranus joke that I just can't make because they'll pull me off the air if I crack it.
You know what I think of this tax?
What?
I think it's out of this world.
Oh, very nice, very nice.
I cringe just saying that joke.
The city of San Francisco, and I shouldn't read this on the air because what's going to happen is, you know how much, you know, people, we get envy. We're envious of things. We want to be more like things. Phoenix, Arizona, the Arizona needed a light rail. Why? Because other places have it. They talk about California. They talk about Northern California and the BART, and how the BART is just the best thing on the planet. And so we have to have something here. So I can't. I should. But, Steve, let me ask you. You're not going to reply because you're not going to be a part of the conversation. But if they call it in San Francisco or up in San Jose, the BART, it is the Bay Area Rapid Transit. Okay? Would ours be called the FART?
Which stands for?
The Phoenix Area Rapid Transit.
Phoenix Area. I think it would be PART.
Well, not in my world, because it's not funny. PART isn't funny.
You need an H in there.
Yeah, you need an H in there, and it's PH.
The PART.
San Francisco is talking about a transportation tax. They want a congestion tax because of the crowded streets with vehicles on the streets of San Francisco. So they want to tax people with cars, and of course it's going to be a progressive tax that the more money you make, I guess the more congestion you cause, therefore, you're going to pay more in taxes. One more way, another revenue stream for the government. They said the downtown congestion pricing study team is weighing the different options. All three of the scenarios currently being considered would charge a $6.50 fee to enter the congested pricing zones. What are they going to put toll roads in downtown San Francisco? During weekday rush hours for folks who make over $100,000. So you're not causing congestion if you make less than $100,000. But if you make more than $100,000, you're congesting us. So the space travel tax is coming without us even traveling yet.
There's only been two billionaires that have gone to space, by the way.
Right.
Like, this industry
they took people
certainly budding.
They took people with them. There were people that paid to go, didn't they?
Yeah, so what? Six people have been to space?
Listen, that's six people.
Six people we could be taxing.
If somebody paid $28 million and you charge a 10% tax, that's $2.8 million.
Okay, we may be making fun of it, but in real talk, did you expect this to happen for space travel to be taxed eventually?
I hadn't even thought about it. But like I said, when I read the story, I laughed out loud and I thought, of course. This is, how did I not think of this?
We tax every other kind of travel,
we
right?
We tax everything. Steve, I know this is going to be the libertarian part of me coming out. Does it not seem dumb to you that you have to go down and buy a license from the government to get married if you want to marry someone?
I've never understood that.
Okay.
I've never had it explained to me. But
the old libertarian adage is a license is nothing more than the government taking away a right and then selling it back to you.
How much do marriage license cost?
I don't remember. Well, for me, a couple of $100,000s, but that's a different story. That's a whole different story.
I don't think that was the license, but okay.
Well, in the end,
it all comes out in the wash.
It all comes out in the wash. I would say that I think they're $50 or $60. I don't remember. Maybe $35. I don't
remember. To get permission to get married.
To get permission to get married. Absolutely.
In what scenarios do they deny people those?
If you are too closely related.
Okay.
You can't get married.
If you're like on the America's Most Wanted list or something.
I don't know if that. I think, no, they let inmates get married.
I think
it's more about how you're related. And that's, you know, where I grew up in the South is more of a big deal than here. Coming up just after 10 o'clock, great conversation locally. Ron Wolfley, he is the resident NFL expert. You know, he's the voice of your Arizona Cardinals. He's on our station, Arizona Sports, with the Doug and Wolf show. Wolfley's going to come on and talk about the possibility of one of the best players on the Cardinals being traded. We'll do that in a moment.